The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Human design is a system that offers profound insights into your inner self and how you interact with the world around you. Quantum human design takes that process one step further, allowing you to become the architect of your own reality. Join Dr. Karen Curry for Elevating Your Life Script, a weekend workshop where you transform your life by crafting intentional narratives, May 24th through 26th at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive. Are you independently wealthy listening to this podcast on your yacht? Then you probably want to find another podcast. Today's show is about changing our attitudes about wealth and money and increasing our chances of bringing some more in. I'm talking to Reverend James Parker about fostering a growth mindset. If you're broke like me, hey, launching a startup podcast network ain't easy. You better listen in. I'm Diane Ray, and thanks for being present with me for this conversation. Welcome to the podcast today. So we have all heard the saying, money doesn't buy happiness. And while that's probably true, money does bring security and peace of mind. And if you don't have it, you're constantly worried, stressed, and afraid. The thoughts keep coming. What if I have to live on the street? I'm going to lose my car. I can't pay my insurance, etc. And these are all my thoughts, just so you know. I'm telling you this from the heart. You know, the downward spiral just continues and it's really easy to get sucked in. So today, I'm very happy that we're going to turn this around with Reverend James Parker and the Wealth Spark. And Reverend Parker is an ordained Unity minister and senior minister at Unity Chicago, but he's also an accomplished business professional who has held the role of president and CEO of a business consulting firm, as well as working in the realms of retail, hospitality, and government contracting. And in his book, he shares real strategies to help empower you to unlock your potential and create an abundant, fulfilling life. So welcome to the show, Reverend Parker. I'm so happy you're here today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Diane. It is just such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Calm my fears with the Wealth Spark. I mean, this is so just very good timing for me because I've been just swirling down the drain of thoughts of money and lack. And you would think I would know better. People that know me or a little bit about me, you know that I worked with Unity. I'd spent a lot of years at Hay House and Hay House Radio, but it's very easy to get sucked in to this fear mentality, especially when we're in uncertain times of inflation and coming off of the pandemic and all of that. So we need you now more than ever. So I'm really glad you're here today.
Well, I am glad to be here, and I hope I can allay some of your concerns. Yes.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm going to lay it on. I'm laying on you today. So first of all, I think that I'm really interested in thoughts of money and our feelings about it. And what do you think are some of the most important things to change about our ideas of wealth and money?
Well, that's a great question. There are a lot of misconceptions about money. One being it is the source of happiness and that it can bring forth this greater well-being. And I really believe that we have to begin to see that it's more than about wealth. It's about holistic wealth, about, you know, kind of redefining what things mean to you. So from my perspective, if you're looking to have a satisfactory life, a life of happiness, then sure, it's about financial gain. But also you want to think about, meaningful relationships, personal growth, sustained success, things that, bring forth an abundant life. Rather than, being stuck in the misconceptions and limitations about money itself.
Do you think we live in an abundant universe? I mean, I like to think that. And you look around and there's so much wealth disparity. And it seems like there's a few that have a lot and the rest of us are kind of scrapping for the crumbs. But then you really want to believe, I think that life isn't meant to be a struggle, that the universe isn't abundant and giving place. I don't want to give up that hope. So tell me that that's true.
Oh no, you're spot on, Diane. It's absolutely true that we live in an abundant universe, and that there is enough resources and enough gifts out here for all of us. Now, I think the real truth of the matter is that we have to begin to, you know, remove ourselves from a scarcity mindset. You know, the belief that there's not enough, or what we've, you know, learn from our parents in the past. You know, some of our parents have gone through some very tough issues, and they carried those things into us, and we carry those things generationally ourselves, you know, and it's just this belief that, you know, there can be a source of lack or limitation in our world.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit, because sure. I think that's so interesting, talking about our ideas of money and where that comes from. And our parents did the best they could in sure. many cases,
yes.
you know, but we are products of what we see and how we grow up. Right. And just one thing that I was always drilled into in my head as a kid was money is hard to get. It's drudgery. You have to work hard and you'll be able to, you know, scrap by.
Sure.
And my parents were both really hardworking. My father worked for HRS, like government job, health and rehabilitative services. My mother was a teacher. So they both worked really hard, but there wasn't a lot of fun. You know, there wasn't a lot of vacations or enjoyment sure. of money. So myself and my siblings grew up with the idea of, you know, work, crack the whip.
Yeah.
You know, you have to drudge to get money. And as a result, on the good side of that, I think we all have a work ethic. Like
sure,
we'll work hard, you know, like the mule in the field kind of thing. But then I think we're losing some joy as well in that.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar? I'm sure a lot of people have told you that. Like,
I feel like you
gotta work hard.
I feel like you grew up in my house. it is. It's the old adage, you know, money is the root of all evil. It doesn't grow on trees. You know, work hard and save, and you know, retire someday. And you know, I absolutely believe that our parents, like you said, they had the best intent. They were really trying to give us, you know, measures of how we can survive out here in the world. And, you know, I had this story recently where someone's parents grew up during the Depression. And because they grew up in the Depression, it was about hoarding and saving. And, you know, and so they spent decades, you know, just kind of saving and hoarding and you know, and limiting themselves and not enjoying themselves, never taking a vacation, you know, going to work with, you know, sick and ill or things like that, and seeing it as work ethic. And they passed those very same things on to their daughter, who was carrying those very same measures into, you know, her life and into her children's life. And so she sat down and talked to me, and she was telling me the story about her parents and how, you know, they struggled and made it through the Depression, not understanding that she had also allowed herself to now struggle through life in kind of the same way, just, you know, carrying the load. You know, it's funny that the old statement, our parents were the first to love us, but they were also the first to wound us. And not saying that they did something bad, but they, you know, taught us these values out of a sense of, you know, wanting us to succeed. But in many cases, you know, telling us to work 14 or 16 hours a day, or that, you know, don't enjoy your life, you know, try to look at things from a very scarce, you know, place, really did not support us. And it's kind of part of our society. And I love what you said about, you know, how, you know, we kind of view things as the haves and the have-nots. And those who, you know, who really are in a wealth mindset, they don't think that way at all. You know, they kind of concentrate on, you know, having a very positive mindset, on, you know, good habits. And, you know, in the universe we live in, the law of attraction automatically tells us that if we have the right mindset, if we think the right thoughts, we'll attract the right things.
Do you think anyone can be rich and prosperous?
I absolutely believe that everyone can be rich and prosperous. We already are. You know, most times we just have to get our limiting beliefs out of the way. There is so much to be grateful for. Now, if you're measuring your life purely by just simply money, that's different because money is kind of an external thing. But if we were to look at what we all have and what we have so much of to be grateful for, you know, every breath we take, every thought we think, every word we speak is a blessing. And if we start channeling gratitude just around the simple things, we'll start attracting the bigger things.
And gratitude is a big thing. It's a great point that you bring up in the book. And that's part of the five strategies that you lay out for fostering a growth mindset. And I'm trying to get myself back into that groove, you know, to get out of the fear and the lack mentality and foster more of the growth mindset. And that's so important, right? We have to be vigilant. Do we have to pay attention to what we're thinking and saying?
No, we absolutely have to pay attention to what we're thinking. You know, our thoughts create our reality, you know, in a sense. And so if we're holding thoughts of lack, of fear, of doubt, of worry, we attract those very things into our lives. So it is essential for us to get into, you know, a more positive growth mindset. And gratitude is an energy itself. It's, you know, people may deem it as just a word, but it's actually an energy. And, you know, it has this ability to go out from us and cycle back in that very thing that we enjoy. So if we begin to have gratitude or become grateful, thankful, you know, for all the abundance that we have or for God's abundance, period, it just seems to attract to us, you know, it's magnetic. It just attracts to us greater things. I'm reminded of the Bible story where, you know, Jesus feeds 5,000 and, you know, they say he just had, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And, you know, the disciples were in this scarcity mindset, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? Send them away. You know, and Jesus takes the loaves and fishes and gives thanks. And suddenly they feed everyone to overflowing where there's leftovers. That's kind of the abundance mindset, how gratitude works in our universe, in a nutshell.
So when you work with gratitude, like, do you think you should tell people to start small, like maybe just be grateful for a few small things?
Oh, absolutely.
To kind of get going.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's so many small things right before us. You know, I like to say to people, you know, we live in this energy field. And so we're already and always surrounded, engulfed, inspired, and increased by this energy around us. And we simply most times look at the air around us as just empty space when it's not. You know, it's providing something to us. Without it, we would not have this ability to have life or the energy to move or to do anything. And if we just start from the small things, you know, the very little things, that begins that power, that energy, that magnetism that draws to us the things that we desire even more.
So when you wake up, do you say, you know, something you're grateful for? Like one of the great, you know, authors that I got a chance to work closely with, Dr. Wayne Dyer, he would say, you know, he would wake up and he even did this in his movie called The Shift, and he'd wake up and he'd go, oh, thank you. You know, he'd be grateful that he woke up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my first one.
I should remember that. I should be grateful that I just wake up at least.
I didn't know I got that from Wayne Dyer, but boy, it's a good one. That's what I wake up with every morning. I'm like, thank you. You know, isn't it just an amazing thing to awaken in the first place? I mean, to know you're alive and then, you know, you're taking that first breath. And I just spend a little time. I write down 3 things each morning in my journal that I'm grateful for, just to get that magnetism, that attraction flowing throughout my day. And it just kind of brings forth a sense of purpose and grace when I do it.
That's a good idea. I've heard that from other people, to start a gratitude journal or, you know, even just jot down a few things in the morning, like, oh, I'm grateful for this great coffee I have.
Or, oh, yeah.
First,
yeah.
After you wake up, then go for that. Yeah. So just to kind of get that going.
For the mug.
Yeah, the mug.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so much to be grateful for.
That's a really good point. And another thing is visualization and affirmations. And I have to bring this up because, you know, Louise Hay was the queen of affirmations. And I have certain affirmations that I kind of go over in my head. And even I was doing this last night, like if I wake up and I can't go back to sleep, I'll just keep doing some affirmations, but you know, kind of focusing on wealth. So, you know, everybody knows the mindbodyspirit.fm network is, I'm a co-founder of that, but what people probably don't know is I'm no business, you know, entrepreneur genius, you know, what do I know? Yeah. So I'm trying to push all this stuff forward. And one of my affirmations that I have right here in front of me for this year is mindbodyspirit.fm will bring in 1 million in revenue in 2024.
I love that.
So I'm looking at that. That's one of my affirmations. But I have to say, like, sometimes we feel silly when we're doing this. I mean, do you think is it a little silly? Like, how can we get over that judgment of ourselves that, yeah, 1 million, you're not going to do that. You know, like you automatically go to those ridiculous counterpoints.
Sure. Yeah. It's something to realize that, you know, we are our worst critics, you know, anything that we put forth, we're also in most cases tearing down. And I truly believe that affirmations work for us because we are carrying around so much in our subconscious. I mean, every time we've had a negative experience or a negative thought or, you know, any kind of limiting belief that we store it in our subconscious mind. And it seems to trickle out in our conversations and what we write and what we do. But, you know, I listened to you just now and I love the fact that you said, you know, this is what I'm doing and this is who I am. And then, you know, in there you said, you know, and there's sometimes I shouldn't have this silly thought, you know, but I get the fact that, boy, what you're doing, not many of us can do. You're an amazing soul who spent years practicing and learning and growing. You have a beautiful voice and a great network. There's nothing ahead of you but success. So I really believe we have to, you know, we need opportunities to really come into a relationship with ourselves. You know, we have this negative self-talk, you know, that we speak worse to ourselves than anyone outside ever could. And we really need to start affirming our truth. And by affirming our truth, you know, every time we put a good thought in or we carry a good affirmation or a good thought, we release a negative one. So it's kind of like, you know, erasing the chalkboard, you know, like I say something good, I get to erase something negative off my chalkboard, you know. And so if we continue to do that more and more and more, we really come into this mode of blessing. And it should start with something very small, like, you know, I am deserving. I am aware. I am blessed, you know, I am prosperous, you know, and those can grow from there. But, you know, we really just have to start to begin to use positive affirmations to bring ourselves into a present moment of our good.
Right. I am. That is very important. And to be in the present moment. And that's even why I called this podcast Be Present, just so I would always remind myself to know that that's the only thing that I have control over is only this one moment, you know, and you always have to reel yourself back in to be in that moment.
Yes.
But I think it's a good practice to do.
Oh,
to know that this is what you have control over.
Yes. And not only do you have control over, but it is something that is very innate within us. You know, like we are beings of light to begin with. The tearing down starts when we start becoming programmed and, you know, learning social standards and norms. And those things kind of get in the way of our, you know, our spiritual pursuit. You know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Many of us put the human experience ahead of the spiritual being. And what we really need to do is just turn it around, you know, come into a relationship with our higher self, whether it's God or Buddha or higher power, whatever it is for you. If we can, you know, stay in that mindset and that part of us only wants our good, you know, we will automatically, you know, hold, you know, positive thoughts, hold good thoughts, and will bring forth good into our lives.
And we are energetic beings, right? You said we're light beings.
Yes.
So that energy of those thoughts that we're putting out there into the big web of the universe.
Yes.
You know, we have to be mindful of those, you know, that's what we're putting out there. And the more we can be mindful of that, the more we'll receive.
Yeah. And that's where it all comes from. Our mindfulness, you know, if we allow ourselves to, you know, just begin our day, you know, in a moment of meditation or prayer, you know, that is focused on our divine energy or, you know, our Christ or a higher power or a higher self, whatever that may be. And if we, you know, take time each week, you know, to focus on our creative juices. Are you reading something? Are you writing something? How about gardening? What about some type of artistic expression? We come into these modes of creativity. If we're creating, you know, if we're creating, we're automatically, you know, putting good vibes out into the world that will return to us. And then we just have to act collectively. I think we really need to connect with like-minded people, people who, you know, are focused on energy work or spiritual growth, you know, because when we engage in those things, you know, we kind of have a shared sense of purpose, you know, and it really shows that we are, you know, working toward a greater cause.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention the Debbie Downers, you know, the SNL character.
Yeah.
And there's always those people out there that are gripped by fear and anxiety. And there's this great word that it's been around for a while. I discovered not too long ago, the German word Schadenfreude. Do you know what that means?
No.
I might be saying it wrong. I think it's Schadenfreude, but it means that you derive pleasure from the misfortune of others. And there's a lot of people that practice that. They have that Schadenfreude. I'm going to look it up to make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. But when I was reading about that and I saw that word, I'm like, wow, that really is a lot of people, because there's so many people that are like, hey, check this out. That person just failed miserably.
Yeah.
And they're like rubbing their hands with glee, you know, and you want to try to avoid those people, even though, you know, it is kind of funny to see the guy slip on the banana peel, but you know, you don't want to get in that habit of getting joy from the misfortune of others. So the company you keep is important. So the Debbie Downers, those people we have to avoid.
Yeah, it is always our downfall. We can always see in the people, places, and things that we associate with. Then it's not only the Schadenfreude. the people who are, you know, getting joy from our, you know, from our hardship, but there's also the misery love company people. They're so miserable and they just can't stand being around someone who's joyful, you know. But the issue is that's something that's been going on since the beginning of time. I always believe that because we are beings of light and because some of us come into a greater awareness, we attract, you know, people who sometimes have a little bit of darkness in them. You know, the old Bible verse, you know, if I be lifted up, I draw all things to me. We do. The moment we become awakened and the moment we become lifted up, we draw people to us. They just automatically, you know, attracted to our light. But we have to be in a place where, or in an awareness that we're conscious of it, you know, and conscious of our own thoughts, conscious of what we're doing, conscious of the people that we are attracting. And it's okay to have a Schadenfreude person around you, but you know, you have to have the ability to say, not today. You know, I don't, you know, that's
because
not
sometimes
right
they're
now.
Family.
They're family. That's right. Yeah. Close family. So it's like, no, not today. I'll talk to you another time, or let's have tea some other day. Today I am basking in my joy. You know, I am living in my truth. You know, I am ready, you know, to receive.
Right. Human design is a system that offers profound insights into your inner self and how you interact with the world around you. Quantum human design takes that process one step further, allowing you to become the architect of your own reality. Join Dr. Karen Curry for Elevating Your Life Script, a weekend workshop where you transform your life by crafting intentional narratives, May 24th through 26th at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive. It's funny to think about that because it is a very human thing to do. And I'm kind of imagining like a group of cavemen sitting around and one guy has a coconut fall on his head and the other ones all start laughing. Ah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's probably been going on for quite some time, but we can make the choice of whether or not we want to participate in, you know, the nasty gossip or the kind of stuff that's going to bring us down. And try to surround ourselves with people that will bring us up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to laugh at myself if a coconut falls on my head, you know, but I'm not going to be happy with someone just bringing me down because I am trying or I'm making an effort, you know, to be better.
Right. You know, I read a good book, a while ago, a few years back, by Tavis Smiley. It was called Falling Up. It was a Hay House book at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about failure and how you can kind of fail up. And he shared some funny stories in the book of real failures that he experienced. Like one time he was interviewing someone and he had his mic was hot, you know, the hot mic, got to watch out for that. He said some, you know, real incendiary things about the upcoming guest who heard, and then they had to come on and interact and he had to deal with that kind of embarrassment. But I think that concept of failing up can be really beneficial because things are not always going to work out, even with our best of intentions, visualizations, all our affirmations, some things will fail.
Absolutely.
But I think it's how you can develop resilience. Yeah. And you share that in the book too, which I think is so important, how we can fail up from, you know, circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am one who believes that our challenges are not by coincidence. You know, our challenges are opportunities for growth. And so in the bigger scheme of things, you know, in the grand picture, we're going to have failures. We're going to have moments where, you know, we slip or make a mistake or just, you know, plan, you know, the wrong way. But those are absolutely opportunities to set us up for something greater. You know, without failure, where would we be? You know, with Thomas Edison, if he didn't fail 10,000 times, would we have a light bulb? You know, would Serena Williams be successful had she not failed in tennis to her sister before becoming better, or, you know, KV Schweitzer, you know, running the marathon. If she hadn't failed as the first woman, you know, just trying to get out there and then continued on, would we have women in marathons? I mean, these things are pivotal. You know, failure is in some cases pivotal to our success. I think the problem is that we've turned failure into a derogatory term. As opposed to looking at it as something positive happening. So socially, we've been programmed to see, you know, failure, setbacks, things that don't go right away as being some sort of, you know, drawback to our character. And it really isn't. It's so much an opportunity for us to, you know, to drill down and become better. When something happens to me, I laugh at it and say, thank you, God, and I work at it. And it always turns out better.
I generally like to think that when one door closes, another one opens.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and I've had that happen. I mean, being in radio for many years before, I mean, I've been given the boot, you know, a couple times from different stations for different things. You know, usually one time it was a big massive firing and a bunch of us got laid off. You know, another time I was doing traffic for a morning show and they called me and they're like, Diane, we're firing you. I'm like, what for?
Yeah.
This isn't working out, you know, and you feel horrible. Like nobody wants to think that they're not liked or that they did a bad job or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, you lick your wounds, you scoot away with your tail between your legs and all that. But then I do think that you can come out stronger for those situations.
Sure.
And every time something like that's happened, there has been another opportunity that's opened up. And I think that's a good point too, to be able to have the strength to take that risk, to take that chance, especially if you're coming off of a failure sometimes. Well, I've got nothing to lose now.
That's right.
I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, but being open to those things, right?
Yeah, it's the old concept, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you fall, it's how many times you get up that matters. And, you know, we really have to begin to see that failures are part of our growth. In one of my first ministries, I went into this ministry not really knowing what ministry was. You know, I thought you go in with just this open heart and mind, and everyone would just love you to death, and you know, you can succeed through the ministry. You don't think about, you know, all the characteristics, you know, some of the politics that are involved, different things like that. And I went into this group that had been around who was in conflict, and they ate me alive, you know, and then just kind of kicked me out. Well, that was a very hard lesson for me. But what it did for me was it allowed me to look at things from a different perspective, you know, do more research, check out where I'm going into this. Is this a match for me or not? You know, and from there, I was able to go into ministries and be successful. And so these are all learning experiences for us. And if we look at them that way, we benefit highly.
That's got to be the hardest thing I could imagine, going into a congregation, you know, getting up in front of everybody. And then if you feel some people are not into what you're saying,
yeah.
It's like you start sweating. Oh no, what's going on? Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And you have that vibe every week, even now, you know, 20 years later, you know, but I think that those are the butterflies you like. You know, if I have those butterflies, I know I'm on the right track, you know, because I know that I'm trying to deliver something that is wholesome and loving and that will, you know, touch people's lives. But yeah, you can get caught up. We get caught up in our career. We have these aspirations and these expectations of ourselves. And when we fall short of them, you know, we kind of beat ourselves up around, you know, them and how we approached it. But, you know, it's the old thing, you know, we plan, God laughs. You know, we just have to wake up to the fact that sometimes we're not ready for an experience, or that experience isn't ours. You know, sometimes it's just not mine to do. And I need to be able to say, this is not mine to do, you know. This is for someone else to do. Yeah, my destiny was not made to step into every arena. My destiny is made for me to step into James's arena. And I just have to be able to see, to grow up and mature, spiritually mature, to see what that arena is.
And when you're approached with a big change or transition or decision that you have to make, do you just get quiet for a few minutes and kind of feel, you know, I try to feel in my gut, like, is this the right thing to do? And
yeah.
Then, you know, take that step, because it can be really scary.
Yeah. I think that every major decision takes a moment of contemplation. For me, I like to pray through things. I take things into meditation, because it's just a time for me to get silent, to get quiet, you know, to get still. And if I can steal myself, my thoughts, my heartbeat, you know, slow it down and just really come into a present moment, I always get, you know, the right nudge. You know, and sometimes that nudge says, no, it's not, that's not for you. And even though I'm like, well, yes, it is. That's for me. I mean, look how much they're going to give me, or look how much I'm going to get from it. And it's like, no, that's not yours. And I always find out later that it was not mine, that the thing that actually came to me to do was the actual benefit, the thing that I love the most. You know, if we don't find love in what we're doing, or we can't find love in that moment, you know, you realize that when a big decision comes, is that when you take it into the silence, you're actually listening for a spirit or God or whatever to speak to you. And you know, he clicks, you know, it's God when it's a win-win for everyone. You know, when it's win-win for you and win-win for them, you know, it's the right thing. And many of us on occasion will take the win for ourselves, and, you know, like, we don't see the win for the other party, not knowing that in the end that we're also going to end up in heartbreak and pain.
See, I want to really strengthen that feeling and that knowing for myself. I think that's what I'm searching for, and probably a lot of people are.
Yes.
I mean, do you really believe that divine love and that connection to source is available to all, and we can just even with all the horrible things going on in the world, I mean, I have to tell you, like, last night I woke up like 2 o'clock. I was trying to get back to sleep, trying to do my affirmations. And I started worrying about world events, like Haiti is, you know, blowing up right now, Ukraine. And I can't fix it.
No.
But I'm worried about it. It's giving me anxiety. But I want to believe that there is a loving source that's going to figure all that out. Is that a naive belief?
No, that's absolutely true. There are always world events, just always. And there always have been, and that's the human element, you know, ego, you know, superficial thinking, you know, the need for, you know, land grabs or whatever someone is doing in a particular moment. It's a part of the human, you know, dynamic. But, you know, if we, the idea is that if we stay into our spiritual nature, knowing that we are never separate from something that is our source, we all know that there's something bigger and special within us, you know, and we all realize that, you know, that there is a spark of divinity within us, something that is carrying us. The problem is that few of us leverage it or use it to its fullness. When we come into the recognition that we're really not separate from our source, you know, from God's energy, you know, we shift our perspective from, you know, hoping that our dreams will come true to knowing we have the power, you know, to co-create them with our source. And so that's a very amazing place to find ourselves, that we can just hold on to the idea that there is something greater is within us. I mean, there's not one of us who haven't gotten into these spiritual practices that doesn't know there's something there. You know, there have been moments that we've gotten through things and we don't know why, you know? And so, and if we allow ourselves to channel that energy and to, you know, to really hold to that awareness, you know, things will always kind of turn out for the better. I even see these world issues as, sure, they are, the human, they show me that society still needs, you know, support, and that God is still at work and transforming our world.
Well, I still believe that too, very strongly. My husband's an atheist and he's given up, but sure. I'm not going to give up the hope of you know, tapping into that divine source and that. I feel that's within me. So I feel better. So thank you.
No, my pleasure.
Thank you for that. So finally, I just wanted to ask you, like, you know, continuing to learn and grow to move ourselves into the right, you know, right direction for wealth, abundance, and everything else, just to have a better life. Mm-hmm. You know, Louise Hay, again, I'm going to mention her because she lived to be 90 and she was just a great, example and role model in so many things. And, you know, I'd see her in the office, but she was always doing something to learn, even well into her 80s and 90s. She took ballroom dancing classes, art classes, things to challenge herself. And she lived to be 90. So, I mean, how do you continue to challenge yourself and stay, you know, motivated and excited about things?
Yeah, I met Louise Hay about 30 years ago or so. And boy, it was like sitting at the Dalai Lama's feet or something, you know, like it was like this amazing moment, like she floated into the room. So yeah, it was beautiful. So, you know, what I do is I try to always shift, you know, my thinking from scarcity to abundance. Absolutely, 100% stay into a mode of gratitude. I am just a walking gratitude poster. You know, I'm looking at things and I'm just really happy and grateful for them. But I also thrive in continual learning. You know, I think that we all have to see that as beings of light, as spiritual beings, as just people, the source of knowledge and wisdom out here is incredible. And we should always be learning. We should always be growing. That way we remain open to, you know, what can be. And so if I just allow myself to stay, you know, grounded and centered in mindfulness and in abundance and in gratitude and in continual learning, you know, I recognize that it benefits me to no end. So I just love it.
Well, the book was such a great positive reminder for me of some of these concepts.
Yes.
That people should have this on their table, bedside table, you know, everybody, so you can wake up in the morning and kind of read a chapter.
Oh, thank you. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think people should start, you know, putting ourselves in this mindset a lot more frequently than we do now. I mean,
sure.
And you say the key to achieving abundance and success, it's the combination of mindset, habits, skills, relationships, and actions.
Yes.
Kind of a combination of all those things. So I hope people pick this up, The Wealth Spark. And you do have a great website we're going to send people to. And I'll have links in the show notes, of course, so that people can grab this. It's thewealthsparkbook.com. And you're available for speaking and teaching and all kinds of things, right? So people can reach out to you.
And life coaching. So people can reach out to me, thewealthsparkbook.com. Yeah, I love it.
Well, you're so positive. You have such great energy. You know, maybe I should just talk to you on a regular basis.
I'm happy you have my phone number, so call me anytime.
I know, I'm going to reach out when I'm like, I can't do it anymore. Help! But this is such a great book you're putting out into the world. So everybody out there, thank you for listening today. You do have a choice in podcasts. There's a million of them. There's a sea of them. I'm a grain of sand of the sea of podcasts. So the fact that you landed here, I'm really happy. Please leave a review if you feel so moved, and download the free mindbodyspirit.fm mobile app, and make sure you do that in the App Store for Apple or Android. And also give a listen to all of the wonderful podcasters we have on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network.
Hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Farber, and I am an author, teacher, psychotherapist, and shamanic practitioner. On my podcast, Healing for Your Soul, I welcome some amazing guests and introduce you to some healing techniques like earth magic, working with nature and animals, and really getting to the heart of what is keeping you stuck. I want to help you deepen your spirituality and let go of blocks that are holding you back. Let me help you in this journey called life. Part of the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network. Subscribe and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.